22. Fate denied. Sanguinius stands fully armed and plated for war. He has never looked more regal or magnificent.
"He will send for you when he is ready," says the custodes proconsul facing him.
"I will see my father now, companion," Sanguinius replies.
"You are defying his will."
Sanguinius hesitates.
"I am, Proconsul Caecaltus," he admits.
The sentinel does not move. His paragon spear is held more firmly and steadily than Sanguinius has ever seen a weapon proffered. The micromuscular control of the Legio Custodes is extraordinary.
"Proconsul," says Sanguinius gently, "I wish to explain myself to him, and I need to do that before..."
He pauses. He is aware of the others now. Four other senior sentinels, summoned no doubt by the proconsul's neurosynergetics, have arrived behind him in complete silence. They've all come from the holding area. They are all members of the Anabasis Protection Company. They are all gloriously armed for war. They take their positions behind him, in a perfect half-moon suppression formation. Sanguinius hears the slow whine of charging Adrathics. Sanguinius raises his hands open and shows them to the proconsul facing him. No threat, no weapon.
"I will see my father now, Caecaltus," he says very calmly and very clearly.
"You are defying his will,"
Caecaltus repeats.
"Which is why I must see him now," says Sanguinius.
"He will send for you when..."
Something ripples in the air. The proconsul tilts his head for a moment, then nods and steps aside. The bright angel steps past him into the inner chamber. The light inside is emerald, crossed by the white beams of focus lights deployed by hovering servitors. The air holds the perfume of industrial incense.
"Oh, my father."
A telepathic signal has just dismissed the armourers, and they step back from their final refinements and adjustments. His father's war gear, as it flexes in test and evaluation, moves with the fluid perfection Sanguinius remembers from the fields of Ullinor. Years of expert crafting have refined and enhanced its systems and its subtle calibrations, and years more of finishing and fining have made it gleam and glow like molten gold. His father turns, and his scarlet mantle billows behind him, casting an impossible shadow across the floor of the arming chamber, like the rolling terminator of nightfall across the face of a world. He has put on his new aspect. He is no longer master of mankind or king of ages. He has put away the symbolic masks of Lord of Terror and Father. He has cast aside the graven idol and the aspect of the Idol King upon a golden throne, which he was obliged to wear for too long. He is as Sanguinius first knew, as all the sons knew him, first found onwards in the glorious days of the beginning. He is again what they want him to be, the warrior monarch, the emperor. Sanguinius's eyes widen, and he smiles. Then, as he becomes aware that the mighty proconsul and the other four sentinels have sunk to their knees behind him, he bows his head in shame and humility. He hears his father approach. He stands his ground, awaiting his rebuke. His polished, mended Auramite plate conceals his lingering wounds. No rebuke, just a gentle question. Sanguinius looks up again.
"No, I will not be War Master," Sanguinius says. "Not here, not now. I will not take the name. It is a tarnished symbol."
"Someone must stay. Someone must be seen to lead."
"Fafnir Ran,"
Sanguinius replies.
"Ran is a great hero."
"Or Aemery," says Sanguinius. Or Ascalon, or Thane, or Huskarl Archamus, second of that name. Any one of them would command the hearts of all loyal men. Any one of them. And there are others besides. Amit, in his great fury. Diamantis. Any of the golden warden chiefs of the custodies. Diocletian Chorus would... A small gesture cuts him short.
You are refusing to stay?
I am insisting on going, says Sanguinius.
Is that not the same thing?
A small, almost boyish smile crosses Sanguinius's face, partially masking the pain he is suffering. No, father, he replies. After everything we have endured, the day is here. I absolutely refuse to let you go alone. It is my right, just as it is the right and honor of Rogel and Constantine. Behind the angel Primarch, on their knees, heads bowed, the five sentinels, Heteron, listen, monitor, ready to react. Once more, the emotional turbulence of the late-born sons complicates the issue. They know their king's will profoundly well, for it is through that will alone that they function. It is never to be disobeyed.
Proconsul? Companions? My king, says Caecaltus. Stand.
Caecaltus rises. The other four rise with him.
Companions, elucidate my son. He does not listen to me.
Caecaltus and the others fan out. They form a wide circle around the angel, their guardian spears upright at their sides. Sanguinius eyes them warily.
My lord king could deny you even now, says Caecaltus, almost without inflection, as though the words are not his own and he is merely reporting them. He could cite the wounds that you think you have successfully concealed. You have not. You are too weak, too hurt. My king is even afraid that the injuries done to you by Angron are mortal, says companion Andolin, and that death has already got its grip on you.
I will not listen to this, says Sanguinius, glaring at the sentinels. Not from them. Father, why do they speak for you?
My king wanted you to stay to protect you, Caecaltus continues, without hesitation. As a rallying figurehead for the palace, you can excel despite your wounds. You do not need to fight or find new reserves of strength and fortitude, says companion Membo. You can simply be present and visible, a presence signifying inspiration.
But to tell you that is to humiliate you, says companion Cliotan.
To remark upon your weakness and your lack of fitness, to suggest your lord father is sparing you the effort of the onslaught to keep you out of harm's way, says companion Sistratus. That would be hurtful.
That would be the greatest shame you could know, says Caecaltus.
But to face me, unflinching and defiant, shows your courage is not weak.
If you know all this, father, then you know that it is more than honour or reputation that drives me to defy you, says Sanguinius.
Tell me what you saw.
Sanguinius hesitates.
Your vision, your foresight, the true reason you are so determined to join the assault.
If you know my visions, father, then you know already.
I do not see them as you do.
My king was alerted to your visions by the sigillite, says Caecaltus.
My king scarcely knows their detail or specific content, says companion Andolin. My king only knows them as things that move upon you from time to time, like fever fits, says companion Cliotan.
Tell me what you saw.
You already know, Sanguinius replies. This. Sanguinius grimaces as a fevered nightmare image passes through his mind. No, father, he says. I did not see you die. I did not see you fall. I do not demand to come so I can change that vision of heresy.
The angel blinks, a tiny tell, but enough. It wasn't that at all.
I foresaw a different death at the hands of Horus, the angel says, a whisper. I have been seeing it for a long time. I have worked to outplay the prediction at every turn, at every step of the way, each permutation, each possible version, as it has come upon me. I have evaded it and refused its truth. I have denied the prophecy several times. But the possible permutations diminish. It wasn't Cygnus. It wasn't Ultramar. It wasn't Gorgon Bar. It wasn't Eternity Gate. The possibilities are finite, and there is one remaining. It must be now. It must be the end game, and the vengeful spirit.
Your death.
Sanguinius pauses. He nods.
You intend to go to see this fulfilled?
No, Father. I intend to go to see it denied one last time.
It is far too great a risk, says Caecaltus.
No, Proconsul! No, Sanguinius declares. The alternative is a greater risk altogether.
He stares at his Emperor Sire fiercely.
If it is ordained that I am to die at Lupercal's hand, says Sanguinius, then I cannot let you go alone, because that means that Horus will survive, so he can come for me again afterwards, don't you see? If I stay, Horus lives, and if Horus lives, then you will have failed.
Sanguinius.
I must face the last permutation. I must force it. I cannot allow for the possibility of another, for the cost to us will be too much.
So you would go willingly to your doom? Asks Membo. Sacrifice yourself for—
No!
Sanguinius has never sounded more sure. He has never sounded so much like his father.
I intend to reject it, to defy it, to change it as I have changed it every time so far.
Father, I will kill him myself if that's what it takes. But I cannot allow the permutations, now reduced to one, to breed and multiply again. I cannot allow a future with Horus in it.
Silence. The moment of quiet is so utter, it is uncanny.
My king, your father, has always called them configurations, not permutations, says Andalin softly. The models of the future he has set, refined and revised across the lifespan of mankind. They are always subject to variance.
We make our future, and that future is only grim darkness if we fail to be wise and cunning, and refuse to reconfigure our designs to match the fluctuations of fate and the vicissitudes of history, says Cliotan. This has been my king's process since he first watched a man's fingers smudge paint on a wall, says Sistratus.
As if by some beautiful symmetry, and because you are his son and his blood, you have intuitively learned to do the same, says Caecaltus.
He pauses and then adds,
My king is proud.
But still, you gamble everything.
Yes, says Sanguinius.
You would walk knowingly towards death.
Yes, says Sanguinius again.
And he smiles.
My vision says that the day I face Horus is the day I die, he says. So if I face him today, that day is here. But Malkador told us, Father, as we stood in the throne room, he told us that time had ceased. Today is not today or any day. We are caught in the un-now. Horus, Father, will not kill me today, for there is no today. By the time a tomorrow comes, a tomorrow of any kind, Horus will be done, defeated by your wrath, and my vision will be voided. This is how I know fate can be denied. The permutation, the configuration, can be defied if we act together. A nod. Permission.
Prepare to join your company, Lord Primarch, says Caecaltus.